Thank you to the sponsor of today's podcast, Call of Dragons. Call of Dragons is an original, immersive, and epic fantasy world. Taking place in the world known as Tamaris, team up with the elves, orcs, celestials, goblins, and countless other magical creatures to build your vast army. Dive into your own fantasy city with unique decor for each faction. Arrange your city as you see fit, and build the unique fantasy metropolis of your dreams. Once you leave the safety of your own city, prepare for battle alongside your scary but friendly behemoth. Command your behemoth to aid you in battle with a variety of epic behemoths are scattered across Tamaris. Powerful giant bears, venomous hydras, lightning-fast thunder rocks, and terrifying flame dragons. Work together with your alliance to defeat them and bring them under your command, then unleash them in battle. And please don't forget to name them. Train up your heroes with unique skills that can turn the tide of battle in an instant. Unleash powerful abilities to wipe out your opponents with a huge array of equipable magical artifacts, each with their own unique skills. Turn invisible, move at astounding speed, teleport or heal your units in an instant. Equip your heroes with an artifact that suits their abilities and unleash artifact skills to dominate the battlefield. Call of Dragons has true 3D terrain that shapes the gameplay. Tamaris is a land of mountains, rivers, valleys, tundra, and countless other features. Not only is it beautiful, it's also essential to use your terrain to your advantage. Build your city on a plateau to make yourself impervious to attack. Set up an ambush in a mountain valley to wipe out enemy forces, or occupy the high ground and cut all would-be invaders down to size. And that's just scratching the surface. In Call of Dragons, combat isn't just a matter of numbers. With the right strategy, you can turn any situation to your advantage. All these features come together to create an incredible fantasy battle experience that allows you to wage war your way. So, if you're ready to jump into the fantasy world of Tamaris, download Call of Dragons today on PC or mobile by using my link in the description.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
So I have to, I guess I, we have to start with me exposing my state blindness.
Ugh.
I thought Peyton was from Indiana, and I was.
Oh, and I'm from Illinois, but not the good part. And to your credit, to some degree, once you get south enough in Illinois, which is to say out of Chicago, it all kind of blends together.
Well, I wasn't even thinking geographically. I was just like, there are a bunch of states that start with I.
Yeah. Could be from any of them.
Yeah. Idaho, Illinois, Indiana.
God forbid, Iowa.
I need to ask Chad something. Chad, how does it feel to be the only person on here who hasn't lived in Mimal?
What? Mimal?
Oh, Mimal? Not Mimal?
Oh, do you call him Mimal? I always call him Mimal.
I was always told it was Mimal.
Is Mimal a state of mind more than a place?
Mimal is like an ethereal being.
Oh, wait, Illinois is not a part of Mimal either. Oh, crap.
Yeah, he's the god of bones,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, crap.
I fought him in Baldur's Gate 3, Mimal.
What the fuck is happening?
Do you not know about Mimal, Kevin? You
live
there.
I don't know
about
Mimal.
You ever heard about
Mimal? I know about Mimal. I don't know about Gooning. I'm going to learn so much this.
Well, none of us have lived. Now, I was going to lie and say that. I was going to say that Kevin and I lived in St. Louis for a while and then.
What? Why? What would that give you?
Well, I thought that Illinois was a part of Mimal. I thought Illinois was the head of Mimal.
Wow.
Wrong. I know. Frick.
The public education system, folks.
What the fuck are you talking about?
What is Mimal?
Mimal is the elder god that is created when you put Minnesota on top of Iowa, on top of Missouri, on top of Arkansas, on top of Louisiana.
Yes.
It looks like a little dude who is standing at profile, and Minnesota is the hat, Iowa is the head. Missouri is the torso, Arkansas is the pelvic region, and Louisiana is the boot.
Why is Indiana not part of this? We just couldn't be a body.
Indiana's about two states away from Mid-Mile.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend time in fucking real world United States. I want to go to a fictional world. I want to look at a map of Narnia. I want to see where all those mountain ranges are. I want to see Lord of the Rings, how far away the Roa Rim are from Mordor.
I really thought Chad was trying to transition us into talking about the book.
I thought so too.
I did too, but I have really bad news. Yeah.
I want to look at, if I'm going to look at a real world map, it's going to be a inky drawn map in the front of my book telling me where the HQ of American Chillers are, is in the upper part of Michigan, and you need to go there right now. Come over to Jonathan Rand's home. Did you guys see that page?
I sure did. And did y'all Google this author?
Oh, sure, I sure did. He's got another name. This isn't even a real name.
He's got like two or three other names.
It's not a real name.
It's a fake name.
It is. So Jonathan Rand is a pseudonym of Christopher Wright. And then he also uses Christopher Knight.
Christopher Knight is so sick that he called himself.
Yeah.
And it's not N-I-G-H-T. It's K-N-I-G-H-T. He knighted himself.
Why did he lie to us? Why did he pick Rand?
He was a big Ayn Rand fan.
Yeah, he's trying to get objectivism into his books, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe.
Just so he can go, no relation, anytime he gets interviewed.
That's smart. He instantly distanced himself from Ayn Rand.
Sort of a reverse psychology type thing.
Did you guys call the number, by the way?
No.
Did you?
No, but I was thinking about doing it here live on the podcast.
Let's do it. Yeah, let's what was that prank phone call show called? Nasty Boys or whatever?
Crank Anchors?
Nasty Boys is also a very funny name for it. Jerky Boys.
Jerky Boys. We're showing generational differences here, that I went for Jerky Boys, Kevin went for Crank Anchors.
By the way, welcome to Goosebuds. I'm one of your hosts, Chad Quant.
I'm Paul.
I'm Kevin.
And we are joined by a special guest, Peyton. Peyton, welcome to talk to us about the story of Indiana iron insects.
Hell yeah. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Peyton, it's a huge moment here because I think you have a show. I know you have a show. About the Midwest, it's called Flyover Culture. And
yes.
Ostensibly, we do a show about one of the most prolific Midwest authors, R.L. Stine. Mm. Now, we're not doing an R.L. Stine today,
right.
But I do want to ask you, what's your context for Goosebumps at all, if any?
So, in a moment of total vulnerability, I did disclose to the three of you that, like, hey, in all my childhood, I have never read a Goosebumps book, and I thought, man, what better time to start than appearing on the beloved Goosebuds show? And then to which the trio of y'all replied, no, I don't think so.
We slipped the Goosebumps rug out from underneath of you.
We already did any of the fun ones. It's just Greg's, Peyton. It's just Greg's leftover.
He's right. We're doing you a favor because you would just be doing the after runs, you know, the reduxes, if you will. They're not
the
quite
slop.
The slop, the
Brian
slop.
Herbert editions of
yes.
Goosebumps.
We are 100. These are definitely written by the Brian Herbert version of R.L. Stine, which is not R.L. Stine. We know that he does not write all of these books. So
he's a goddamn liar.
It's a little heartbreaking, Kevin, to hear you say, "Oh, we've already done all the good ones, so we did this."
I'm sorry.
Well, this is even better though. So we've done.
Yeah.
It is. TBH it is. We've done how many? Two of these American Chiller books, guys?
Yeah.
We did the one about giant worms in
Dinosaurs
somewhere.
Destroy Detroit. That's and mm-hmm. Nebraska Nightcrawlers.
Now I wasn't there for Nightcrawlers, but I was there for the Dinosaurs. The Dinosaurs was fine. But I think this one is cool. Because it has four words in the title and they're at all alliteration.
Mm.
Yeah.
And by this one, we mean Iron Insects Invade Indiana. I don't think we've said the title of the book yet.
Paid, we really called upon you as an Indiana expert, but it sounds like...
Sometimes you call the wrong number, but sometimes that wrong number picks up and they guide you through a tough time.
Wow.
I like that. Can I say that we don't have to do this right now? I did dial in the number on the book. that tells you to visit Chillermania and shows the world headquarters for books by Jonathan Rand, and it points to Indian River in the upper north part of Michigan, a place that I have never gone to, nor will I ever. And it's like, get on I-75, exit 313, then south 1 mile. It is like telling you how to go to his house.
I saw that. Yeah. It sounded like a museum of some sort, but it's in the UP, man. That's got to be some beautiful land there.
I will say, I started to call it, and my phone did that thing where it recognizes a business and auto adds what it is, and it said, you are calling Chillermania.
Whoa.
Okay, so I don't know if you guys have, when you were reading this, were like thinking about a time period. In my mind, this book was written in the 90s, but this book was written in 2003.
Yeah. I mean, there are little hints like, what's his face? Travis has made his own website.
Oh, that's true. And I had made a website in the 90s. It was easier then.
It's true.
It was more pure.
Yeah.
So this is interesting because this came out, that means a year after another author covered a story about micro machines, Michael Crichton's Prey.
I love that you have the bibliography of Michael Crichton memorized in your head, Chad.
Yeah, I definitely didn't Google it while we were talking. Just the whole time I was like, you know, it's very interesting to see that era of the future where we were like, yeah, drones, and they'll be tiny and they can be swarms and they'll be everywhere. You got to watch out. And this before the CIA really like suppressed everything to make us not worry about it because they wanted to use this technology.
Uh-huh.
It's so much bleaker than that.
Yeah, these are kind of cute little drones, these little metal bugs.
Before we went past Chillermania, because I was really interested in that page, I did want to ask you something. How familiar are you guys with Michigan and the Upper Peninsula?
I have not been to Michigan.
Okay, Chad.
My roommate's from Michigan.
Okay, I don't know, maybe your roommate knows. Is it really called Upperland up there? What's that all about?
I have never heard of a lake called Upper, or an area called Upperland.
I know it's shaped like a mitten, so you can look at your hand to describe where you are located
in
Michigan. Yeah, to other Michigan people.
But this isn't even the mitt. This is like, what if you were trying to catch hot, if the mitt was Michigan, Upperland is like, what if hot bacon grease jumped out of the pan and you were trying to block your face?
I love how creative that imagery was for you, Chad.
Thank you. Never heard of Upperland. I have been to Michigan. My hometown, South Bend, was right on the border between Indiana and Michigan. So, you know, you want booze on a Sunday, you got to drive across the state line, get to Michigan, go to Kalamazoo, go to Lansing, maybe Grand Rapids. Don't go any further north than that.
As a filthy East Coaster, Upperland sounds like a lesser Bruce Springsteen song.
I was born in the Upperland.
I can hear it. It's there.
Yeah.
But back to like this book being prescient about drones and also maybe AI. Like,
And post-industrial rot.
Yeah. Whoa, dude. Like this stumbles drunkenly into almost saying something. That's like the best thing to ever happen to a book we've read on this show.
An accidental literature.
100%.
I mean, it did one literature with that title. And then it did a second, and possibly a third literature in this book.
Whoopsie, I made a point.
Whoops, all points.
It just goes to show, just write anything, and like the shotgun blast of books that you've released in your life may find relevancy at some juncture.
Can I pick a bone with the American Chiller series?
Pick away.
Please.
So some of the work that I have done, I am a very big fan of cryptids.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The urban legends that are usually pretty regional based, pretty, you know, state specific. This dude had 50 opportunities to find some local things that he could really dig into, maybe have some fun with, maybe turn some tropes on their heads.
Yeah.
I went through the whole list. Not a damn one.
You could invent a cryptid or something, but it's usually just kind of like 1950s style monster. Yeah,
right.
Or thing that is a different size that the thing should be, or different chemical makeup. Yeah, I'm with you. When I think of like state mysteries, when I think of like regional mysteries, I go cryptid.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I guess you got, I think this is an amazing point, Peyton. I see number 16, alien androids assault Arizona. I guess a cryptid.
Sure.
It should be like the Georgia goat guy.
The Jersey Devil, the Hodag, for instance.
But the Jersey Devil and the Hodag live in their states. The androids are merely invading. They're from out of town. I want a regional monster in a region.
I am drinking out of my lovely Hodag pint glass. So nice. Speaking of prescience.
That's funny because I'm drinking out of my Flatwoods Monster pint glass.
Hell yeah. The good old Braxy.
Yeah.
I'm drinking out of an actual Jersey Devil skull that I can.
Whoa.
Like a skull that I got from a killed Jersey Devil. There's multiples of them.
Well, a meme just appeared right outside my window.
Before we get too far into the book, I do want to. So Peyton, you have a show. Mm-hmm. Would you like to tell people about it? Just because I think your bona fides sure. need to be laid out there.
Yeah, there's a reason why we invited you on here. Please.
I appreciate that. Yeah, show is very generous. It's a web series.
It's a show, and it's too good for YouTube. Okay,
thank you. My show is called Flavor Culture. I have been making this since 2021, I want to say. Just finished up the third year. Yeah, that's how math works. And essentially, it is short-ish form that are gradually becoming longer and more untenable. Videos that are about different elements of pop culture, either through a Midwest lens or stuff that is specific to parts of the Midwest. So like I just mentioned, this past year did a video on the Hodag up in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Started off last January with a video going into Jackbox Games up in Chicago getting to meet some of the crew that works on those projects. That was very exciting. We're in between seasons right now, just kind of trying to figure out what is next, what we want to do, what I want the show to be. It's something I enjoy making. I do about 95% of it solo. So it's a lot of work, but I enjoy it. And it makes me smile on the inside when people say that they like it.
Beautiful. That's awesome. It is a extremely well-produced show. And I think even if you're not from the Midwest, there's a lot to learn. And I think you do a good job of placing things in a context that, you know, it allows people to kind of, I think, learn about a lot of things that they love that they probably don't even know are from the Midwest.
Mm. Well, thank you.
I thought that banned books episode was a fucking banger.
Dude.
That was important and interesting and well-timed. It was just great.
The stupidity of it. yeah. It's just, we had a library up in Indianapolis rearrange a bunch of its teen-focused books into the adult section. One of them being The Fault in Our Stars. And yeah. When... I don't know who thought it would be a good idea to come for John Green. he will eviscerate you, and he will bring his millennial army to help do it.
It was nice to see John Green used for good. Nice. But like, just like the fact that you could get those like longer portions with librarians just saying their piece, like, was really humanizing and great. I just love that episode.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I figured there was enough noise about like what the bands were trying to do that I wanted just somebody to sit down and say, here's how it actually works.
Yeah.
When you have issues with a book, and here are the actions that we take and here are the actions we don't take. And so I was happy with how that one turned out.
And just, I feel like worth noting, Peyton, you and I, while we had not met before, we are WTIU PBS brothers.
Yes. So I guess I should say that Flavor Culture is a production of WTIU Public Television in Bloomington, Indiana. I make it for the station that you used to work for.
And, yeah, small world. So you're in Bloomington then, right?
Yes, yes.
Nice.
And eagle-eyed spotters can go find Chad's previous appearances on some of our video content.
Yes.
Most of those episodes have been deleted and destroyed, but...
But there are still plenty available. Still plenty.
Excellent.
If you're ever worried, I can go through and undelist them.
Please.
Make them public.
Thank you. Thank you.
I love uncovering Chad's like previous gigs. Like, we found out that he was in a music video a few episodes ago.
Much like a cryptid, Chad appears in all kinds of unforeseen places.
If you think about me enough, I'll appear like a Slender Man. And one of those was a decently popular local PBS kid show called The Friday Zone, which is still going, right, Peyton? I'm assuming you know.
No, it is. After 20 seasons, they sunsetted it.
Whoa.
What the
Is this? I'm so sorry. I did not.
This is how I'm finding out my legacy.
To bring the local public television drama to Goosebuds.
Chad, so time to come home and restart the Friday. So.
You just kicked out the door and say, "Daddy's home."
Daddy's home. Ready to go. So mad.
Iron Insects Invade Indiana is a story about Travis and his friend Mandy, who continues to fall over in every scene.
Yes, we have Travis Kramer and Mandy McKinley. I don't know why I fillied that one up, but Mandy McKinley is his best friend, and they are plagued by water balloons.
An epidemic, really.
Yeah, by the coolest kid in the neighborhood, Eddie Finkbinder. Eddie's a real cool guy who's just like trying to get everybody to lighten up and be fun. And he's persecuted by these two horrible kids. And it's a real sad story.
You would think that Eddie shot one of their dogs.
Yeah.
Eddie likes to throw water balloons.
Yeah, he's not really a bully as much as a normal kid.
Right.
It's
he's
summertime.
Bored.
It's hot out, and Eddie is trying to cool some kids off with a little lighthearted pranking.
Yeah, and his last name implies a noble heritage, because a fink is what you call somebody who talks to cops.
There's a rat. There is a straight up rat fink drop in this.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah. Yes.
So Eddie's ancestors got their name from binding finks in some way.
Is that? I like that. That's how you read it. That they bound up finks and I guess turned them into the anti finks.
I picture they were bound in some kind of like tarot card, a la Cardcaptor Sakura. But I'm
I read
not
it.
Sure.
That's a beautiful way to view it. I read it as they were finks who bound up all of their cop tellings and then gave them to the cops. So that made me hate Eddie even more.
Like in a three ring binding.
Yeah, they bound all their tattles and handed them over.
Like a burn book.
You're saying Eddie has binders full of finks.
Yeah, he sure does. He is the binder of finks. I hate Eddie.
I think he's cool. They live in Elkhart.
They live in Elkhart.
Yeah, which I know very well. I know
real place.
I was going to ask if it was real.
Yeah, Elkhart is tangentially connected. It might as well be part of South Bend.
Was Elkhart a place actually where they... I could have done the research before that, but I knew I'd be there with people that lived near it. Did Elkhart actually have an industry of building instruments?
I looked it up. Had never heard that.
I don't think so.
According to the wiki, they did have a company that built instruments. I don't think they were like, you gotta go to Elkhart to get your trumpets.
Okay.
But they did produce, their major exports seem to be band instruments and RVs.
Interesting. Yeah, I certainly did not find any toy companies that are now out of the running.
Underground toy companies.
Right.
We'll
right.
Get
sort of
there.
Like Aperture Science level. Anyway, yeah.
Dude, yes, we'll that was there. The exact vibe.
Cart before the horse.
Well, yeah, I to your point earlier, Kevin, I think we're like, or Peyton, where you're like, there's no cryptids in this. It seems like Mr. Rand, which is not his real name, it seems like he's treating these books almost like, oh, these are kind of educational. Because
he slipped in a couple notes.
Yeah, there's a couple lines that are just like, as you know, the export of Elkhart is this, this, and this. Or I picked up a leopard frog. And I was like, I'm going to double check that. Yep, leopard frogs are native to Elkhart, Indiana. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I took that less to be that he was doing some sort of altruistic educational endeavor and more just that is what he found in his cursory research of Elkhart, Indiana. <He's> and was like, God damn it, it's got to get in there.
He's pandering, you're saying.
Yeah, well, I did write down when he makes reference to a pop can, I did write, this is pandering.
I saw that, and every time I encounter pop, there's a part of me, like, I know what's going on, but there's still a part of me that's like, really? That's
I'm
really...
disgusted by it.
It's weird.
What is this country. East Coast problem that you all have that is being called pop, not soda?
We call it soda.
I call it soda.
I call it Coke. Everything's Coke.
Whoa. That's an interesting... Is that really
that's
what you do?
That's patently false. That's everything wrinkle. Is not Coke.
apparently that's more of a Southern thing, but yeah, we call it all Coke.
You ask for a Coke, she brings you a Sprite, and you're just like, what is this?
Do you do the thing where you put all your peanuts in your Coke, and then you eat your peanuts that way?
What are you talking about? Peanuts in the Coke?
I hear you buy like a bunch of salted peanuts and you put them in your Coke and you have like a salty sweet.
Who's this you?
No, yeah. This is what I. Who is doing this? Is what I hear. This is what these are. What these
people
are, the
are doing. This
my contacts
Kevin,
are telling me. Things.
Did your peanuts fall into your soda last night and then you had to save face and you said you hear people are doing this?
This is a delicacy.
I'm just hearing it around. I'm just trying to like.
This is a cultural exchange. Cool.
So you guys haven't heard of that, is what I
Kevin, know. If Coca-Cola soaked peanuts told you to jump off a cliff, would you?
I'll have to think about that. Okay. Leopard frogs are indigenous to Elkhart, and I guess, or whatever.
What do you mean you guess?
Travis catches leopard frogs.
I told you,
frogs.
I did research.
Travis catches leopard frogs, just like Chad did as a lad.
Yep, down at the creek.
I gotta say, this first chapter was very, just really nice throwback to my youthful days.
Just vibes.
Yeah, good summer vibes.
River life? Creek life? Hell yeah, that's for me.
Even this early, we're already kind of in the jerky rhythm of these tiny chapters with gigantic
font. Oh my god.
Where like...
This was gonna be the death of me had it gone on any longer.
It's like the book is like 200 something pages, but it's just enormous font. Some pages left entirely blank for no discernible reason.
Killing trees for no reason. Just throwing out
This dude was given a quota that he had to hit for page count, yeah. And he said double spaced, double spaces after the periods, and just some blank pages.
I want to defend Jonathan Rand here. I don't feel this was nearly as fluffy as RL's thing.
No. The writing was damn near Hemingway-esque compared to RL. but we're talking about the extravagant blank pages, Chad. Did you not see those? Sure.
No, I mean, that's fair. I thought that was just like, Jonathan's like, people got to write down their notes, what they're thinking. They got some big ideas. Oh, maybe they want to draw some iron insects in here. Maybe an extra blank space.
Ooh,
here.
Be part of the story.
Yeah, it's an encouragement for the child to take part. Okay, that's great. I love that.
We know that's not what it was.
I know. You know, there's some parts of the country where they're doing that, where they're leaving pages open for kids to fill in with their own drawings while they eat their peanuts out of their Coke.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing it.
So you're just eating, like, corroded peanuts?
Yeah.
Do you use like a slotted spoon so you're not like bringing up extra Coke?
Yeah, no, yeah, you got to siphon it out.
From what I hear, from what my contacts are telling me, you just kind of slurp it out as you're consuming the Coke. It's like it's a mixed media presentation.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I can't stop laughing at the idea of Kevin on his couch, fully reclined, slurping nuts from his Coke. It's a beautiful image.
Constantly choking because your body doesn't know whether to swallow or chew.
Right.
Getting bubbles.
Your roommate from Michigan being like, do you want a refill? You'd be like, yeah. And they go, do you need ice? No, but I sure do need some salted peanuts.
He sees you doing it and he's like, oh, you're doing it the Uperland way, eh?
Yeah.
Is that what it was called? Uperland?
Yeah,
when we get physical letters in the mail of all of the peanut coke enjoyers, then you guys are going to feel mighty foolish.
I think I was offered peanut coke at a party once. I didn't take it, though.
Yeah. We have not talked about this book at all.
And then he sees an iron insect. He
you
just
know
sees
what?
One.
I don't care. We're not even going to talk about the book. Forget
about
it.
He's just goofing around with his best friend. What's her name? Max.
Maddie.
Mandy.
Mandy.
Maddie.
Mandy.
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 Matthew.
Mandy. And you know, here's what I love about Mandy. When our hero starts seeing metal insects, this doesn't fall into the trope that I think a lot of the Goosebump books do, where it's like, yeah, whatever, idiot.
Refreshing.
I'll believe it when I see it, Mandy believes.
Yeah, Mandy's like, we have a friendship based on mutual kindness and trust. Mm-hmm. And though I am not sure that you saw what you think you saw, I will believe your words.
Yeah.
Like, Mandy, a real one. I just like that we get an iron insect so soon in the story. That wouldn't have happened in a Goosebumps.
I agree.
No, yeah, things are actually, like, the threats are actually happening.
Yeah. It's
kinda.
Kinda.
Sort of.
Because... It is well established that these are weapons of warfare. They have buzzsaws, they have clamps, yeah. And yet not a soul is touched.
I know.
Even what, like 230 pages?
Mandy gets a direct hit to the back, and she doesn't even, she doesn't let 1 ounce of blood out of her body. I mean, that's, I mean, like, there should have at least been like a little scratch or like a, you know, like some sort of like,
right,
minor,
or like
last,
a sting or.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just draw a little blood in the first.
Yeah, hurt
pages.
These kids.
There's a moment early that I was so excited where it seems like our main character is Professor X'd by one of these bugs. He is like a lot of X-Men references today. Mm-hmm. Where
good,
he describes the bug diving straight for his spine and like severing his spinal cord. And you're like, oh, it's a water balloon. It's a water balloon instead.
Yeah, there are a couple of, I don't remember this happening in the other Chillers books that we've read. But there were quite a number of those fake outs that Arya loves, which is like, oh, and then I got hit by the bug got me, and then, oh wait, it was just a water balloon. Like the Peyton, that is a absolute, I would say a bedrock a bedrock feature of probably 90% of the Goosebumps books, is that they are filled with these fake, like the worst fake outs you've ever read. This book dabbles, it's not quite as bad though.
I have a qualm with this book, and that is, not to get blue, but this the chapters of this, the cliffhangers, this is literary edging. This is like rather
than gooning, you mean?
Yeah, thank you. Tie it all together. It all comes back to gooning.
Is right. That what gooning is?
Do we
so
need to
anyway?
Do this? Yeah.
My issue with the book was like every single chapter, rather than have a cliffhanger of like, and then I turned the corner and there was, you know, a huge insect waiting for me. And then chapter break, it's like, you're not going to believe what I saw when I turned that corner. And it was going to get weird. And then you go the next chapter, you go the next chapter and it's like, man, what I saw sure was weird. It was an insect.
I know. You trust me, Peyton. This was the good one. This was the good version of that.
Oh, that hurts.
And the one that's like, the one that's like, but what I didn't know, what was about to happen would be very scary, but it wasn't scary yet. But if you just stick with me for a little bit, you'll see that a little salty surprise and a sweet drink would be pretty good.
stay with me, book reader. I'll probably die later, he says.
Yeah.
Okay, so the thing that's missing in these books, Chad, to your point earlier, is this book, pretty much every sentence is purposeful and is carrying you forward. What RL likes to do is to have the child ask about 10 questions in a row to just build quote unquote tension. That is absolutely absent from these books. And I got to say it made me, I think, okay with those endings of chapters because I wasn't bearing through that stuff throughout the rest of the chapter, if that makes sense.
Okay. I did. There were a couple times when I did find myself toward the end kind of on autopilot and I had to go back and reread a picture.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, we're just let's keep it going. Let's keep it moving.
You can kind of imagine what a whole paragraph is going to be just based off the first like combination of letters.
Exactly.
Like I'll kind of drift away on some of these too.
Sometimes, guys, you know, I'll give you a little secret, fast reading secret in these books. Sometimes you just got to read the words that people are saying out loud and skip the rest of the stuff because all the information's given to you right there.
Oh, you're saying you just do the dialogue.
Sometimes you just need the dialogue sometimes.
Damn. Pro move.
Death of a Salesman meets Iron Insects Invade Indiana.
So he sees an iron insect and he's like, I can't prove it, but I know what I saw. Mm-hmm. And then he can prove it because it just flies into his fucking garage. after he tells us how much he likes to skateboard, which he never does in this book.
I know. Okay.
There is a lot of biking and no skateboarding. Yeah.
Yeah. He has a fast skateboard. He made sure to let us know. I will say,
which
though,
might have come in useful.
He's got a bike though, and he's pretty good on the bike. I think this book actually does use a lot of the things it sets up, but I do agree the skateboarding was probably there like the pop was to pander to the youths.
Yeah.
Sadly.
He shows the dead iron grasshopper to his parents, and they're like, that's stupid. You're stupid. Stop being stupid.
he makes a point to say that he can't wait to show his mom and dad, but not his sister Lisa, because she sucks shit.
I completely forgot he had a sister, I'll be honest.
Well, she never comes up.
Yeah, she sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, she came up for that one line to learn to where he talked about her sucking shit, and then he got out.
Yeah.
This is a strictly anti-Lisa podcast.
You know what? Fuck Lisa.
We'll say it. We're brave enough to say it.
I hope bugs just rip her apart.
I hope she is used to raise the stakes.
Yeah, we should have killed Lisa. That was a perfectly valid target for these killer bugs.
You don't even have to kill her. Just horribly maim her.
Yeah. A light maim.
A little maiming.
Little mimmel maim.
Anyone else write down Captain Chomps?
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
I could go for some Captain Chomps.
I wanted some. Oh, we did skip past a part that I did want to talk about. Just a quote that I had to pull out where this book got real country colloquial, and I loved it. I'm just going to read this to you guys.
Sure.
Eddie is a pitcher on the school baseball team, and he has a pitching arm that's as fast as a rattlesnake. I tried to get out of the way of the oncoming projectile, mm-hmm. knowing that if I didn't, I was in for a good soaker.
A good soaker.
It was just a nice country slice. I enjoyed it.
I don't think there are rattlesnakes in Indiana, are there?
Not that I'm aware of, but I could be wrong.
Could be anything in Indiana.
There's more than corn. There's more than corn in Indiana. We know that, thanks to Indiana Beach.
He said the thing.
I said the thing.
I feel like Captain Chomps really hurts the upper part of your mouth. That's all I wanted to say about Captain Chomps.
And we learned that Travis eats it very quickly, which is just really irresponsible.
But also a skill that could have come up later to help him, but does not.
That is true.
Incredibly true.
His metal mouth that he could have had.
Oh, he should have just eaten all the bugs. Yeah, he should have just like... He goes, I'm going Taz, and he just starts eating them all.
Or sort of like become one in like sort of like a transhumanist allegory, like replaces his jaw.
Like a Cronenberg, like some sort of Cronenberg creature.
Yeah.
Like some kind of Full Metal Kafka.
Hell yeah.
Then the saw beetle shows up and he has to go over to Mandy's house to fight it. And oh, the humanity, the saw beetle cuts a few lawn chairs so they wobble, kind of.
Should have cut some bones.
Should've That's the biggest bones. Stakes of the book, I think, is lawn furniture, which honestly, I don't think any kid gives a shit about lawn
They
furniture.
Really linger on how mangled the lawn chair is.
He even talks about how they're aluminum chairs, which makes it even seem weaker somehow. When it's like he could have been like these cast iron chairs that he cut through, but he drops that they're aluminum.
No.
Dad got these at Menards. He's gonna be so pissed.
Not the Menards.
They get out their tennis rackets and go to beat the shit out of the saw beetle.
Which works.
I like that the children are armed in, I think, like, two out of the three of these books we've read. Yep. I like that they get their, like, Shaun of the Dead moment where they have their cricket bat or whatever.
Yeah, Monster Squad. Like let the kids take some action, you know? I know this is not a visual medium, but can we talk about... Do you guys know what Jonathan Rand looks like?
No.
Yeah, he's at the end of the book. He's the monster at the end of the book.
He's got a Dean Koontz dog.
This guy has got goatee and wraparound shades.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. His picture at the end of the book is, I mean, he does still have the goatee. Clearly he's been rocking it for his entire life.
He looks like he either used to wrestle or is going to wrestle.
He looks like he owns a guitar center.
He looks like he knows one of my uncles and I shouldn't pet his dog.
He looks like he should have taken this author photo in the driver's seat of his pickup truck.
I gotta say, I'm still pro Rand right now. That's a bad clip to have out on the internet.
Yep.
But
who is John Galt, Paul? Who is John Galt?
What insect is he?
Trains. Mighty trains.
I'm currently pro Rand just because he hasn't done us quite as dirty as RL has over and over again. So I'm
give
gonna
him time.
he'll disappoint you. They all will.
Although Peyton, you made a great point about the lack of cryptids. And I'm looking through the titles of these books. I am pretty upset.
There's not
that,
any.
That he totally missed that opportunity. So
if he wants me to help co-write, get at me. DM me on Instagram, Jonathan. We will make it happen.
Peyton, if you had like a weekend and a wine cooler, you could write a better book.
One wine cooler.
Damn.
Oh, get his ass.
All right, we ready?
Actually, don't. He looks like he could kill you. And
no, win. I'm sorry, John. I'm sorry, sir.
I'm sorry, Jonathan. Don't hurt me.
Don't. It's the Seagram's talking.
It's the mango Mike's heart. I didn't mean it.
In my defense, Your Honor, it was a harder lemonade.
I just threw a few peanuts in it, Your Honor. It's crazy. The Finkbinder shows up. The Finkbinder fake out happens. Best character, Eddie Finkbinder shows up, starts crumping on the lawn, and these two kids say, no dancing.
He's crumping on the lawn?
He's crumping on the lawn with his goons. His goons show up to back him up, perfectly like on cue choreographed.
He's like, let me in that goon cave. Let me in there.
You know you're a true Fink when you have two unnamed goons. And the two unnamed goons get their asses beat throughout this book, and they still don't even get names.
I know, it's great. I love the restraint in not eating up, like, word space that you could have, like, taken up with just... And Chris Dinkle, the other goon, was the meanest kid on...
He wore blue jeans, but his left leg, he rolled up the cuff on it a little bit, and he had slightly brown hair, kind of curly. That's a page.
Had an onion on his hip.
Was the style at the times.
He had Red-O-Max sauce all over him. That's a deep Michigan cut for you, Jonathan Rand.
You know, as we unpack the book, again, this was like a vacation for me when we were reading this. Now as we're unpacking it, I'm starting to see that maybe it wasn't as good of a vacation as I thought it was.
There's a lot in this first part of, not filler, but the least interesting stuff of just kind of like, find and capture and lose and misplace and maybe drop this metal insect in a jar.
There's a whole Chorin section where he has to like go to the grocery store for some fucking
reason. Can we talk about that?
That part is hilarious. So they do capture the they literally wing this beetle. They damage it. They see that there are letters on it. BCT? BTC? BTC, Bitcoin.
Stands for bitch.
Bitcoin, guys.
Wow. He predicted it all.
He called it.
Drones and Bitcoin.
Trying to tell us something.
They find that, and they're going to call a number, because I think, was it Mandy's dad knew a toy company? It was Boogaloo Toy Company.
Travis asks his parents, but they don't know. And even though he has his own website, he's not going to look it up on the internet. His sister's on the phone. And then Mandy's dad's like, oh yeah, my dad just knew it stood for the Boogaloo Toy Company.
Right.
So, like, okay, well, I guess that's solved.
Why not bring him on the, like, let's nail this down.
Yeah, he's obviously interested in BTC, so we should get him
in Bitcoin.
he's a crypto bro. So let's get
him early adopter.
I keep looking at this photo of Jonathan Rand, and if he stopped me in the street and said, "Hey, I just wrote a book about Bitcoin and drones," I would have said, "You sure did, pal."
I called all of it.
What else did he know?
What does that man know? Look at his face and say, what does that man know?
Why did he have to retreat into the upper northern parts of Michigan where the government couldn't reach
him? What is he hiding up there?
What is in Uberland?
Uberland!
So they find this thing. They figure out they're going to call this company. They call the next day. They let them know that they found one of their full metal beetles, and the receptionist on the phone is like, hold up. The president wants to talk with you. You must come in as soon as possible. But the best part is they get this news. They're like, we're going to go do it. And then Travis decides to do chores and mow the lawn.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Can you imagine for one moment, put your mind into the world of Stranger Things.
And I'd rather not.
And Eleven has showed up, and they're like, "We need to go back to the lab, and we need to take Eleven back. But first, we're gonna go grocery shopping. We got to go get school back to school pictures, uniforms."
Sounds like somebody hasn't seen season four.
I can put my mind into a laid-back camp kind of space where we can just do random bullshit while supernatural stuff is happening.
Okay, fine.
But it wasn't paced well here. But, you know, what was paced well was this gently dripped information about how the tulip tree is the state tree of Indiana.
Which yep, I verified. Yep. That is correct.
Again, which I had never heard living in Indiana. So this kid's either a super nerd or is just being forced to say these things because of
Jonathan. I don't think he's like dropping these little nuggets of wisdom. I think it's like, well, damn, I Googled it. Might as well include it.
I think you're probably right, Peyton, but I'm also just picturing like Jonathan Rand has to realize by this point in starting his career, he has to be aware of RL. The shadow of Stein is lurking over the entire youth boy, book publishing. Yeah. Like Scholastic has dominated with Goosebumps.
Well, he's gunning for him, Chad. He's coming at him.
Yeah, he's gunning for him. So his publisher's probably like,
yeah,
we need to get you in libraries and student libraries. I don't know if you noticed this totally legal copy that we all shared of this book.
Yeah.
In the beginning, early on, has a school sticker of like, this book is worth 5 reading points.
Ooh, like, I missed that.
Something to think about. That like maybe Jonathan Rand was like, well, I can't win him in popularity, but what I can do is make this feel like the slightly more educational Goosebumps, slightly more with like 5 or 6 trivia factoids about a state that no one needs to know to justify this book's existence.
Yeah, this is Goosebumps with 50% less sugar.
Yeah. Yeah, so. It's like Frosted Mini Wheats where it's still not healthy for you, but it acts like it is.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did like the tulip tree drop because he talks about how they can grow so big, of which the ones he's looking at were so big, and then talks about the factory, which is sitting almost dwarfing these trees. That's how big this factory is. So I thought it was a good scale setter, at least.
Yeah. But I just also want to back the stakes you guys hit are so funny in this part of the book of they have never heard of the Boogaloo Toy Company.
Uh-huh.
They are immediately being told the president wants to meet with you. And immediately he's like, I am so excited to meet the president of this company. I am so proud of myself. But yes, chores I must be a good boy. I must do all of my chores. But that also means like the way it was said on the phone, this is very important to the Boogaloo Toy Company. They can't send a fucking person out.
Well,
they can't send a text. I understand we're going to learn why in a moment, but in that moment, it's like, yeah, just come by when you can. That's crazy.
We know why.
In that moment, Kevin, this note and observation is coming to you from when I wrote this down.
I know, but we eventually learn why that wouldn't be a possibility.
I just think they're not taking this seriously. They're like, yeah, bring it by whenever you can.
I don't think we can fault the book for that.
I have issues with Travis's parents in that this is 2003. This is when we were just learning what pedophiles were.
Yeah.
And to not know where your child is, he's just going to go to an old warehouse. I think that's a failure of upbringing.
To let your child go a mile away from home post 9/11 is unthinkable. Mm.
They ride their bikes on the highway.
Yeah.
They get on US 33, a real highway. they shouldn't be on that highway with their bikes.
I don't think Randy Jonathan was all that tapped into the kids at this point.
If I can defend his Midwest honor, I did that shit all the time.
cool. You rode your bike on the highway?
Not like the interstate, but yeah, like state highways, like big country roads, 55 miles an hour, yeah.
Yeah, like a 4-laner, I'll be on that thing.
Two-lane.
Two-lane? Oh, what? At 55?
You really? I should be dead.
Y'all are wild out there.
We learn what rivulets are. We learn about Travis's special secret supernatural power, which is he can hear the voice of the wind and gravel.
he can hear the elements speaking to him, and they warn him to stay away.
Stay away.
Go away.
Was that metaphorical or just a real thing that never came into it again?
It never comes up again, and I choose to believe that the state of Indiana itself was trying to communicate with Travis.
In a world where the Willy Wonka of remote controlled toys created weapons of war, I choose to believe that the wind can speak to children.
And I think it was our patron saint of Indiana, which is Larry Bird. I think Larry Bird
was
probably still playing basketball at this time. In the middle of a game, stopped where he was and was like, "Stay away, stay away." Stay away from Boogaloo Toy Company. Now watch me shoot this free throw.
Now watch this drive.
So they go to the Willy Wonka's toy company and it's all beat to shit. And they're like, this sucks. And then the door opens. They're like, okay, maybe. And then they go in.
Well, they wisely go, I don't know about that. And then a swarm of bugs begins to attack them.
They get a little push.
They get a little push. Nobody is maimed again. Let's just point out another missed opportunity for maiming.
Disappointing.
Mandy takes dermal damage, and it's not even from above.
This feels like TTRPG territory. Like, this feels like, all right, you guys are at the factory.
Yeah,
the gate's open. And they're like, I'm going to investigate around the factory. Are there any tulip trees? And you're like, yeah, they're tulip trees. Just, all right, do you go in the factory yet? Like, we go in, but I'm going to keep an eye on the gate so it doesn't close behind us. All right, you're distracted by something. The gate closes. Well, we're going to climb over.
The wind whispers again. It says, go inside now. Get in there.
Larry Bird needs to make up his damn mind.
I know.
Are you in or you out?
They're on the threshold and they're like, let's deny the call. Okay, and then I deny the call. And then in response, I will deny the call. Holding priority, I deny the call.
Deny the call?
I deny the call. And then they cross the threshold. And it's an elevator that they try to push the up button on and it goes down.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the ultimate DM, like, fuck you, just go to the part I want you to go to.
Damn, Kevin, that's, wow, you have a deep insight into that I don't have, and you called the hell out of that. I do want to say that there was an error in here. I love calling out an editing mistake.
I had an issue with the writing, but I didn't notice that.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. If you go to your PDF, your legal PDF copy that we have of this book, on page 106, Travis says something quietly, which is not first-person perspective. He has been speaking in first-person perspective this whole time. Was this book written in third-person perspective at the start and changed? I don't know.
Paul, I wrote that down. I wrote down Travis said and that there's a perspective shift, but here's the thing.
Oh, no.
Sometimes when you're scared, you have to talk to yourself in the third person to make yourself brave.
I love that in the third person, he narrated his book, his retelling of the thing in third person because he was scared. He probably got re-scared thinking about this moment.
I just considered it a reflection of Travis's emotional state, like a George is getting upset kind of moment.
Uh-huh.
I know I've had a lot of issues with the writing, and I stand by them all.
Mm-hmm.
But
thank you. Yes.
I do believe this is the chapter where Mandy tells him, and I wrote this down, this one's an elevator, and then there's like a paragraph or two of him describing what an elevator is,
I know.
It follows it up with him saying, you're right. It is an elevator.
He had to mansplain within his own head for a little
bit. That's like Resident Evil level writing on display.
I also love that when they find the elevator, he wants to test it for safety, and his safety test is to get inside and jump up and down.
Smart. I mean, he is a child.
Let this kid ride his bike on the highways. Go.
Can we read a Resident Evil book sometime? That sounds fun.
Do they have those? Do they make?
They
those?
Gotta. They gotta.
Resident Evil, but for book.
Yeah. Yeah.
They ported that shit to book.
Man, that remakes on everything.
Just check. So, the book becomes like Willy Wonka, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, kinda.
Yeah, this is where the different book starts. There was like one book before the elevator, and now there's the book after the elevator.
Where, you know what? There's nothing to say that they didn't die in that elevator, that the rest of it wasn't a dream. Because they jump, he jumps in that elevator, I bet you it fell, and then all this cool stuff that happens was all in their death dream.
Their mangled corpses are just on the bottom of the shaft while they pretend.
Yeah, man, and it all takes place in like this one kid's snow globe.
The snow globe is a snow globe of Owl Creek Bridge.
We meet Oliver Bugs, who's not a doctor or a professor or anything. He's just the weirdo president of the Boogaloo Toy Company. Why not call it the Bugs Toy Company? I guess we'll never know.
Does he ever mention that there's an irony in his last name being Bugs and he has built Bugs? No, he does not.
We simply must stop here and acknowledge that the owner of this company's name is Oliver Bugs. B-U-G-G-S.
It's a great drag king name.
It is incredible.
Yes. Yes.
Oliver Bugs, if I would be at that drag
show. Welcome to the stage.
Oliver Bugs. Oliver Bugs. It is a beautiful name. And then he has created a robot assistant named Katie Did.
I am concerned.
That is such... It is a beautiful, beautiful name. That's a type of cricket for those who might not know.
I appreciated that, Paul.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great little thing. The names, I gotta say, usually RL's names feel incredibly uninspired. These names, this guy's laughing when he's writing these names down, right?
I want to know more about Katie Did. Like, what's her life like? Like, what's
I'm
her
concerned for Katie Did. Do y'all think there's something untoward about the relationship between Oliver Bugs and
Katie?
Oh,
we have an Ex Machina situation here, for sure.
Okay. So you also thought that.
Yeah. I'm freaked out as well, Peyton.
Yeah, I think she needs to get out. I think she needs a support network. I think she'll get it. I think by the end of this story, things won't go so well for the Bugs family.
Also, this place is just like crawling with metal bugs. If we didn't make that very clear, it's just like
wall to wall
furniture
bugs.
And the walls are covered in metal bugs.
This man is very well funded.
He's brushing bugs aside as he walks. He's like he's got his bug broom. And he's just pushing them out of the way. He lives among his bugs and his creations, and he loves them all.
He also explains that these are no mere metal insects. These are iron insects, iron being better than metal.
Yeah, which, yeah.
There's, okay, let's keep going. Because there's a lot I want to unpack with Mr. Yeah. Bugs here that I have an issue with.
Okay.
We learned about Harvey Bugs, the bad version of all
Harry,
of the bugs.
Harry Bugs.
Harry Bugs. I put a frowny face next to his name, so I'd know. He's trying to do AI bug control and take the control out of children's hands and control bugs with computers so that they murder people and he can dominate the military industrial complex.
when he eventually reveals his plan of, I guess, continental domination that he's
can
going
we
to do
about the plan.
The plan is hilarious because I'm waiting for the MIC to show up and bust his ass because he does not know what kind of smack is coming for him.
Can we go through what Harry's plan is? Because I have copious notes. And
stage one: work under my brother Oliver Bugs and gain his trust while stealing from him.
Great first step.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Stage two: acquire the noteworthy horn and tuba company.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And
for metal supplies, I assume to smelt down entirely.
And it's the front. It's the front operational front for the for the building.
Yeah.
And people think they're making tuba parts.
Mm-hmm.
when in reality, they're making tiny metal bug parts.
Nobody's being like, where's the tuba part?
Right, where's the bell? Because that's the thing, is like with instruments, yes, they can have lots of small little parts, but at some point, somebody's got to make the thing that looks like a tuba.
Yeah. Everywhere around the country, bands are suffering in schools because all of the instruments are missing vowels.
Would have been a hilarious note if, like, there was a nationwide instrument shortage going on.
It's not lack of arts funding. It's the big bug industrial
complex.
It's
big bug.
It's big bug.
But Oliver Bugs, here's why Oliver Bugs is the villain, apart from, you know, treatment of Katie.
Okay, yeah.
He fired everyone in his
company. I'm so sorry. That's bad for audio. I just hit my desk.
Kevin, he said he didn't have a choice, Kevin.
He knew who
this
was
is just what Wonka did. Wonka was like, I can't trust Slug, my competitors, so I'm closing down the factory. Everybody, get out.
If somebody was stealing your secrets, instead of just launching an internal investigation and finding out who is stealing your secrets, you decide, there's nothing I can do. You're all fired. I'll, you know, burn it all, let God sort them out, and then we'll get to it. When it was obviously his brother, but apparently he didn't know that enough to not lay off an entire town and bring their whole infrastructure under.
I
hate this man.
Me too. I think Harvey Bugs, like, he buys this stupid noteworthy horn and tuba company and staffs it with quote unquote innocent participants.
He gave them jobs.
I think that's everyone that his brother just fired. Yes. And they all
know they're not making tuba parts. He is a hero.
Yeah. I'm sure if you told those people that they were making killer bug parts, they'd say, well, it puts food on the table.
Yeah. Well, also, we don't know where the bugs are going. They might be used for finding lost dogs.
It could be anything.
That would actually be a really good use of.
Meanwhile, Mr. Oliver Bugs is addressing his last 30 employees. I'm sorry to let you all know that somebody microwaved fish. I'm going to shut down. The rest of the office is being shut down.
All right. Well, that's kind of fair. I get it.
Now, I also. So we got a little bit into Harry's plan, but he also said that he's both trying to gain power and frame Oliver for it.
Right.
So which is it? Because if you're trying to like rule with an iron fist and show this military might of these iron insects, why would you frame somebody else?
He is both trying to be a shadow broker and also a tyrant.
But he's also, we just glossed over that he's like captive in his own fort. He's like, right?
Oliver Bugs is, yeah, he's stuck because the insects outside of the factory will kill him if he exits.
Will kill him, so I'm trapped here.
Hold on, but he still goes food shopping, and yes, Harry and Oliver see each other at the supermarket, and Oliver walks by quickly, and Harry's like, what the fuck? Oh, again, I missed him again.
What the fuck? Oh, he's like Tim Robinson. God damn it, I gotta get back to my controls. Get the bugs on him. He's using underground tunnels to get back and forth from his lab factory to the supermarket, the post office, go to the movies.
Yes.
So really, what are we even doing here, guys?
Couldn't his robotic bugs just get him Jack in the Box or something? Like
he invented DoorDash.
Yeah. All right. Here's what I think Harvey Bugs is trying to do. Here's my like Hideo Kojima interpretation.
Oh boy.
Nano machines.
Oh boy.
So all of the iron insects, including the ones made at the Noteworthy Horn and Tuba Company, are stamped with BTC, Boogaloo Toy Company, markings. I think Harvey is going to do a false flag operation.
Yep.
Stick the bugs on the country and then flip a switch deactivating them, saying that he saved the world from his evil brother's bugs that run amok, and now he can control them, which he always could, and then he assumes dominance as he's voted world president. That's what I think.
A bit of a syndrome from Incredibles.
Yeah.
Chad and Peyton, I want to just real quick take an aside. I think Kevin is very good at being an evil mastermind, so we should probably keep an eye on him.
Listen, I don't think we have anything to worry about. I think come Monday, Kevin is going to get an email from one Christopher Knight / Christopher Wright / Jonathan Ram saying, hey, I'd like to take you under my wing, much like I'm holding my dog in this office.
Can you imagine if the Continental Chillers series comes out and the picture is Rand with Kevin?
It's this, Kevin instead of the dog.
We're all like, is Kevin happy like that? Is he enjoying that?
That's actually him performing a light Heimlich on me after a peanut got stuck in my throat from drinking too much Coke.
He seems happy, I think.
I don't want to get involved. Listen, he looks like he's in a good place.
I'm happy if he's happy.
I finally got noticed, guys.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yeah,
please.
Has it ever happened? Because this kind of guy who writes all these books and I think maybe self-publishes them. I don't remember if that's correct, but I feel like I read that on Wikipedia.
Okay.
And runs a museum / gift shop to celebrate his own work. You know he's got a Google alert set up. Do you think he has listened to your previous American Chillers?
It's possible.
Episodes? Oh. And do you think he's going to listen to this one and follow up to the follow up? Has anybody ever contacted you?
Authors have not, but we've been reached out to by listeners who like, oh, my elementary school teacher claims to have ghostwritten 3 of the Goosebump books kind of things.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, we got whistleblowers coming out.
I think you might be hearing from Jonathan, if not his lawyers, very soon.
If not one of his many pseudonyms, maybe.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. It could be anybody.
I think when he comes for you, though, he comes as Jonathan Knight. I think that's his, like, spirit of vengeance.
That's when he puts on his vengeance Oakleys.
Feel that strong arm around my neck.
That sounds safe. He goes,
call that? He goes, that's called the chiller right there. And then you just drift off and you never feel anything ever again.
So Oliver gives the children communicators on the back of their ears or some shit, and he gives them a gun and he says, go kill my brother Harvey.
Go shoot every bug out there. Go shoot all of them.
I think this is cool because in an RL book, the children would have zero power, but he gives the children cool spy power in this one. I dig it.
The walkie-talkie and the like, the hacker disc, right?
Yeah, hacker disc, yep, and a tactical flashlight.
He does make a point to say that he does not want the walkie-talkies falling into the wrong hands, which I find funny because he has no such issues with the killer drone robot.
He does hand them in a very, like, a fun kid toy version of a cyanide capsule. Is like, if you get captured, don't let my brother know what I know. You have to take these.
I did think that that was probably the best part for raising the stakes, Chad. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I need you to keep this Flintstone vitamin in your molar and bite down real hard if you get captured.
If he knows where my tunnels are, I can never go to Burger King. And that's going to be a big bummer for me.
Don't fuck this up for me.
So the two children toddle across the four-lane highway under the express direction of their adult guardian.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with this.
Nope.
They cartwheel into the noteworthy Horn and Tuba Company, and they are immediately captured. They are chopped, karate chopped hard in the neck, and they are revived in front of a computer screen where he says, "You want to watch me play some Counter-Strike?" Travis says, "Yes, I would love to watch you do that. Yeah, that sounds really cool, man. You got any aim bots on here?" And Travis steals his keys, throws them at Mandy,
who has already at this point called him a rat fink.
She's called him a rat fink because he says, "I think terrorists are cool. I'm glad you're playing terrorist." She calls him a rat fink. and then he throws the keys to her and they bolt out of the room. And then he's like, "Can I ask you guys this? What did," he's like, "you had to believe that I was a terrorist for this to work." Right. I don't know if I really follow that thread for the plan. Do you guys?
I just think Mandy's bad at picking up what Travis is putting down. I think that they're worse friends than we're led to believe.
Mm. Aw, that made me sad.
You know what? But their friendship lasted through this ordeal, so it's stronger for it.
Until the sequel, when Mandy does get brutally murdered by
she gets taken out page one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they crawl through her skin like in The Mummy and just bore her out.
They do it. They put the USB in the computer, and then they high five for 35 minutes, and they go back to their real dad, and he says, "Here's a giant wasp, kids. Only one."
Well, the best part of it is that they don't think they've won for this whole time, and the narrative tension that is going along is purely because our two children just don't know what's going. They weren't fully filled in on the plan. Honestly, maybe Oliver Bugs wanted them to eat that pill and die over there so that the whole affair would have been washed away. So he didn't fill them in on the rest of the plan, which is that the bugs would return to him. So they are chased by a tornado of bugs. The tornado of bugs swarms over them. I do think that was kind of a sweet moment, though. I need to call this out. I know we're joking about how this doesn't matter, but they think they're doomed.
None of this matters.
This matters. This matters hugely.
I wrote down the line, "The swarm of iron insects stormed above."
Yes.
And I'm like, man, one little tweak would have made this almost a literature. If he had just said, "The storm of iron insects swarmed above."
We're so close.
It's really close.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
you can taste it on the goatee.
I agree with it. Damn, Rand is going to be getting a new picture as soon as this episode drops.
Johnny, don't change it, Rand. You look so cool. I wish Johnny, I knew Rand.
It's all love.
Johnny, it's all love. Come on the show. Come on the show.
I did love that Travis, even though he Mandy falls again. Mandy falls a third time.
Truly the Jean Grey of Iron and Sex Invaded Indiana. Yes.
She falls a third time, and Travis puts his body upon her and protects her. And I think that is the testament to their friendship.
And he says, "I don't scream often, but by my count, he screams about as much as Mandy falls," which is a lot.
At least three times.
Yeah. Travis screamed the third time.
So they go back. They go back after the bugs disappear. Mr. Oliver is happy. Katie's happy. Katie's a little fed up with all the bug problems that she has to deal with now because Mr. Oliver just brushes them to the side in classic bachelor style. And then they get their bug prize from Oliver.
Which this whole wrap up. is crazy.
Yeah.
Cuckoo.
It is pretty nuts.
Because he tells them, you can't tell anybody what happened today. Despite the fact that there were swarms and swarms of them over downtown Elkhart, which I think the book kind of like shrugs off as like, they thought it was what, like bats or something, or like birds?
Yeah. I think they said locusts, right?
Oh, locusts. Yes.
Elkhart is a small, simple town. So maybe they would have just kind of been like, ah, look at that.
Maybe sometimes bugs is shiny. You never know. But,
shiny like, bugs up there, he said.
Don't tell anybody, even though people saw something. And then rewards them with a prototype of this, like, could fall into the military's hands, could kill everybody.
Peyton,
weapon.
That is the greatest part. Is he's, don't tell anyone. Here is a don't giant flying bug that you can use in public. Go nuts,
oh
kids.
My gosh.
My question is, why does he give them one?
Or you think he should give them one each to so they don't have to fight?
Yeah.
Like, here's your prize to share. Fuck you. Like, dude.
Well, you see, he doesn't have much money since he fired all of his staff on a whim.
I got to save money up. I got to get some operating costs together to get the staff back.
I got to get back in the black van.
Do you think he realized afterwards, though, that he was like, fuck, that was my only prototype. God damn it.
No, that one, that prototype had to be shelved because it totally gives you cancer after like 3 weeks of use.
Book number two takes a turn.
That's why he knows that his secret's safe.
Those kids will enjoy a couple weeks of their life and then it'll end.
I just like to picture he's like, for you, Travis, my newest prototype, oversized bug machine. And for you, Mandy, oh, shit. And then he just, like, rips a finger off of Katie and, like, gives it to her.
Yeah. Guys, is his name a pun on bugs all over?
All of her bugs. All of her bugs? All of...
All, like, the bugs all over. Bugs all over.
I love the bugs.
All of the bugs.
All of bugs.
All of her bugs. When
bug I just wanted one question, like, sir, why bugs? Why bugs?
Why bugs? Why bugs?
This is the book that dares to ask, why bugs?
Why bugs?
I just want to hear like one, like, don't you see, there's beautiful geometry in their design. Bugs are basically like nature's robots. I don't know, just something. I just want to hear like one weird man's idea beyond just my name is Bugs. Of why bugs and not crab robots or bird robots or he made the one receptionist. Why is she not a bug?
Chad, you're just upset that they weren't creatures from Sonic, aren't you?
No. I love a good bug robot. I love the Predacons. A lot of bugs there. Just
Beetleborgs.
Like, big bad Beetleborgs.
I know he loves the Beetleborgs.
Buzzer from Sonic versus Sonic.
Yeah, Sonic versus Sonic. That's
yeah,
a
buzzer.
Robot too.
Got a buzzer in it.
I get why Robotnik made Metal Sonic. He's making the fastest thing alive as a robot.
Yeah.
But why bugs?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Why not bugs?
I guess that's the valid point. I retract my question.
Thank you.
Counter-questioned.
How do you guys think this compares to the other ones?
Better.
I feel like... Yeah?
Oh, wait. I thought you were talking about... All the books we've read.
Well, all the books, yeah, of course. In the Randiverse, the Chillerverse, we've read Nightcrawlers
of the
Ayn Rand and Giant
Oeuvre.
Yeah.
I think this is a little worse than Nebraska Nightcrawlers because that had more, like the kids were like whipping water balloons at shit and like doing stuff, and this is more kids are
it's
going on bikes to locations and be and describing elevators.
Right, it's not as good as Dinosaurs Destroyed Detroit either, because in DDD he travels through time and brings a dinosaur back, and that's sick.
Wow, I forgot about that.
That's pretty sick. Yeah. So, it's pretty. Peyton, we might have missed a little bit on the mark with this one.
Peyton, compared to the last book you read, where does this stand?
Well, I am oscillating between House of Leaves and Jujutsu Kaisen, so, you know, it falls somewhere
in
the middle.
House of Leaves is my favorite book ever. You're reading it for the first time?
I am.
Oh.
It's going to be very slow going, because I'm a very slow reader, but it's good vibes, good vibes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, House of Leaves is... Well, yeah, I can't believe you have to compare House of Leaves to this. That's insane.
This is really the House of Leaves of the American Chillers franchise.
Yeah. If they had just gotten on that elevator for about 60 more pages and gotten lost on the elevator, that'd be House of Leaves.
Remember when we had to hold this book up to the mirror to read it?
That's not a thing in House of
Leaves. Yes, it is.
I don't remember.
There
that.
Is a part where you have to hold it up to the mirror. Sorry for the
there
spoiler.
There are just blank pages in House of Leaves.
Yes, which is part of what made me excited to read it, because I was like, ooh, it's really long, but not all the pages.
It's really long, but there's some free pages in there. Don't tell anyone.
I can draw on these. I can draw my insights.
Yeah. Oh, cool. I hit a boost pad reading right now. Just blazing through this.
To Mr. Rand's credit, I really thought it was cool at the very end how it leaves on a cliffhanger of like, this is my cousin Amber from another
right.
state. And like, she's like, let me tell you about this weird thing I saw. And then it goes right into the next one. I thought that was cool. That's a good framing device. Good job, Jonathan. Christopher.
good job, Christopher Jonathan Randinson. It's a good way to tie a universe together rather than some other ways that we've explored a horror universe could be connected.
Oh, boy.
Do the other American Chiller books have that, or at least the ones that you've read, do they have that little
thing? They all end with a connector to the next book in the Chiller.
That's great. Place. I'll give this man his flowers. That is a good idea.
Yeah, I think the Velociraptor at the end opens up, and inside it's like, hey, it's me, it's your cousin. I just got Aiden. Hello.
Hey, it's your cousin. I've got that new sound you're
listen
looking
to this.
I like the demo disc quality of giving somebody a little bit of the book at the end of a book. Like, that's kind of fun.
And for my dumbass, it made me happy because I was like, oh, not all of these pages are the ones.
Dude, it's House of Leaves all over again.
It does make you feel good when you're like, I thought I had more pages. I'm done.
Oh, that was me. Like, I read Killers of the Flower Moon this past winter, and I was like, oh, it looks like 350 pages, but the last like 75 are all bibliography.
Footnotes, baby.
Right. Great.
What I'm saying is I'm not very bright.
But you're reading at a fifth grade level. So
That's why I just read comics and tell myself that it's just as good.
Yeah, dude.
Hell yeah, dude.
Peyton, I do have to ask, how realistic is this to living in Indiana, which you never did?
Yeah, Peyton, as our Indiana expert.
Right.
You've been there for 6 years. You've absorbed the culture. Yeah.
There's nobody else on this call who is more better suited to answer this question.
You'll know Bloomington is definitely
exactly
an example
like the
of the rest of the minds of Indiana. Yeah, it's not a tiny dot of blue in a sea of conservative red.
Right. It's not at all the kind of state where as you go north, you see more Don't Tread on Me and Confederate flags.
Yeah.
I wonder if they know they're going in the wrong direction.
They don't. As far as Midwest vibes go, I mean, the fact that Kevin was horrified at the idea of two children riding their bikes on a major U.S. highway made my heart sing. So, yeah, I'm gonna give it 5 strangled golden retrievers out of 5. Again, a joke that only works since podcasting is a visual medium.
This picture is now the cover for this episode. It's got half right. of me.
For the cover, can you Photoshop my face onto the dog?
I think that's a bump. I think
we bumped it. Or we chilled, I would say.
Peyton, thank you again so much for being on our incredibly professional and lightly edited podcast.
This was an absolute blast. Thank you so much for asking.
Yeah, it was fun.
Where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, yes. So first and foremost, go check out Flyover Culture. That is at youtube.com/flyoverculture. Hopefully you find something that you like. And if you don't tell me, because I will cry.
Yeah.
And if you want to see more of me, I guess Instagram is probably the best place for that, since I got kicked off of Twitter.
I was going to ask you about that. I was like, I was going to contact you on Twitter.
I got suspended from Twitter for glorification of violence.
Oh.
Because somebody was sharing around this image. It was an AI-created image of Elon Musk's face on a toddler's body.
Okay.
He said something like, you know, when you're being mean to him, this is who you're being mean to. And this isn't even my joke, but I quote tweeted it, and I said, me and my friends would have killed this thing with hammers, I'll tell you that much. And 2 months later, because when I got suspended, I was going back through, and I was like, this tweet, when was this? 2 months later, some weirdo reports me, and then I just wake up, and it's like, you're suspended, sorry, and for glorifying violence. And then I try to appeal it. And I was like, well, considering that this isn't a real photo of a real person, right, maybe we can let this one slide. Yeah. And they said no. So follow me on Instagram at maybe not Peyton. That's Peyton with an A. I am the same thing on Threads and Blue Sky, although I don't use those a ton, which honestly has been kind of great. It's been,
yeah, man,
been nice.
It's freeing. Really, like... Peyton, thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. This was delightful. Peyton. This is a treat and a treasure.
You know, and Peyton, you mentioned how awful it is to be on certain social media things. We have also talked ourselves about how we don't like being on Twitter and social media. And that is a hard thing for a podcast or for any YouTube internet content, because it's hard to get a word of mouth for what you're doing. And if you like this show and you want to support it, you know, maybe in the past we used to be like, retweet and share us on social media. You don't have to do that anymore. No one sees that. I mean, doesn't hurt to do it. You can do it if you want to. But if you really want to support this show and help keep the lights on, the best way to do that is go to patreon.com/goosebuds, where you get access to bonus monthly episodes during Camp Goosebuds, where we hang around the digital campfire. You get access to our Discord. You can vote on which books we're covering next.
You can sign up for free and hang out, and you'll see. And if you're looking for another free thing you can do, just send an episode to a friend. Just if you got a friend who likes books,
yeah,
who doesn't like books, who cares? Give them an episode. Just say, give them one. Pick a good one.
I will say the adventure book with Sonic and Zonic.
Oh,
good shit.
Oh,
I was listening to it with my husband in the car, and he goes, this is a Goosebumps podcast, right?
exactly the reaction we're trying to get with those episodes.
That is also something we ask ourselves many times. This is a Goosebumps podcast, I think.
It sounds like he's already in the fandom.
Sounds like he just signed up for the Patreon free version.
Anything else we should have? And of course, check out Continue for great weekly content. Check out Kevin's Patreon and givekevinmoney.com.
Yeah, do it.
Check out Chad's beautiful face.
Yeah, check out my beautiful face, where I'll appear randomly throughout the world, and you'll never know where I'm next.
Check out the PBS archives to find Chad, and then send me Chad, please.
Computer, can you pull up Chad for me, please? Peyton, it's been a pleasure collaborating with you again. WTIU solidarity. I hope the fundraiser drive still show nothing but Celtic Women concerts.
They have never left, nor will they ever. Celtic Women may never die.
Heck yeah.
Celtic Women.
Check out Flyover Culture, everyone.
Okay, bye.
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 Thank you, Peyton.
Thanks again, Peyton. Bye.
Thank you.
This episode of Goosebuds was brought to you by our lovely Patreon supporters, enshrined here forever in the Book of Names.
The Book of Names.
The Book of Names.
We'd like to thank Stefan, Jive Turkey Kuwabara,
Hollis Hornbeak,
Low Belly Hate Me,
Nathan Dolzal,
Mike Lenteri,
Mickey C,
Michael McDowell,
Hey Josh Robb,
Cameron Murphy Audio,
Buddy Morrell,
Mel Dipson,
Belcade,
Afshin,
Dango Twiss,
Zenticles,
Stealth Bates,
Robert Moon,
Brian Wells,
Jason Crooker,
Miguel Pardo,
John Keaty,
Clay Castle,
Calf,
The Juggalobalist,
Rite Aid sucks and is committing fraud. Fuck Rite Aid. We're an anti-Rite Aid, but we're like Wrong Aid.
Gregory D. Warren.
Cody Redfield.
Bradford Coulter.
Why are you sad? Aiden is taking karaoke suggestions. Kiss from a Rose is the best one to ever do.
Pony.
Oh, dude, I don't think you can do Pony in a bar like that. People are going to just start fucking. I don't know if you can do that.
I've seen some live Pony performances, and it's hot every time.
Probably don't want to take it out of context that you've seen some live Pony performances.
Clip, clip. Jar Jar Slinks.
Chosen One.
Levi Than.
Up and Champ.
Jonas Eggman.
The John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation.
Carl.
Anthony Mulberry.
Yanni Markovina.
Elusive Koala.
Christian Vanskever.
Brooke X.
Jesus Christ.
Jeremy Lowe.
Brian Hobgood.
Zach Connor.
Patreon _ donator, comma, yo.
Joe Spooky Digital Ghost Tierney.
Tom Whittem.
Lord Cornwallis.
Anthony's funny name made Andrew Jadzak laugh.
Woo.
I want to know how you figured that out, Anthony. Murph EP.
Maybe they're friends. Carson Birkenbean.
Devin Ticklebean, hidden in the trees outside Ice Church with egg sock.
Whoa.
I assume to defend Ice Church with an egg sock.
Yeah, you're like boloing people with egg sock.
Or to bean the entity when he comes out. he turns into red polygons and he makes a Final Fantasy VII sound.
Sean Minogue, next time you fill out your name, please put a Final Fantasy sound in for us to make with our mouths.
Rushy Glenn.
Wiggle it!
Luke LaFountain.
Matt McClellan.
Chip Handsome.
Alicia Grave.
Tanya Turtle.
Juan Jalapena.
Timothy Misodulakis.
Reinfected.
Keith Halcrow.
Clay McCarty.
Ham _ boat.
The Crowfens, but seasonal.
Raymond Hernandez.
Matthew Sutton.
John Barber, snip, snip, snip.
Sarah Kemp.
Jonas Blotterman.
Jeff Coffey.
Kelsey Kinneman.
Russell Casberg.
Xavier Jimenez Castillo.
Scotty Pippen.
Chris Petrikis.
Flemily.
Tobias Clark.
Dungeon Kappa.
Zach Weir.
Limp Duck.
Ice Descendant Hamster in the ice part of the ice.
Descendant.
So it's like digging down there. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not an ascendant. He is he's a descendant. I guess that's
he's wiggling his way down there. Yeah.
It's cool.
Being lathed with water and slowly becoming one with the ice.
Alex Moon, the robotic dog.
Paul Grasso.
Meet Virginia.
Joe, regular name Scott.
Luke Noodles.
Zambam Mino.
Hugh Bolin.
Estamina, Lord of Paul's Pants.
Chris, Sleepy Time Ghost Stick, Nelson.
Streak.
Kieran McNamara.
Diet Soda.
Just Lamb.
Jackie L.
Coleman Laguza.
Nathan Remick.
A Pair of Scots.
Need More Kimchi.
Levi Kidder.
Getting Frisky in the Lobster Bisky.
David Gray.
Lee Wood.
Reed Stubendick.
Matthew Bertato.
Bryce Diuri.
I finally escaped from Paul's vent because the bit was getting old. Bye.
Oh, he's free.
Goodbye.
Bye. Jonas Ennevoldsen.
Ah, the meatloaf.
Joey Evans.
Carewise Gamgee.
Bubba-bubba-bony.
Some of Chad's bird friends chirp happily at Canadian Ghoul. That's some good millet.
Joe Gorman.
Cameron Hansen.
A wild swaggy yellow squire appears.
Burger's Wonderful World.
Nicholas Maloney.
Andre Villeneuve.
Tiffany Lee.
The Deadly Bulb.
Generally Depressing.
Eric Horwitz.
Thomas Jansis.
Tacky Tammy.
Mutant Astronaut.
Lucretia McEvil.
Ben Bohan.
Henry Torbear.
Boner Guard Epsilon Hamilton, aka Hambone, host of Radio Bonaire, you're on.
Adam Knapp.
Anthony rides the Black Unicorn, leading the Ice Conquest to spread the word of the entity.
Everyone's doing way more work on Ice Church than we're doing. We got to establish some more lore if there's going to be Black Unicorns.
It's interesting to see where everyone goes. Do we need a herald? Do we need an egg guardian? What do we need in Ice Church?
Logan Derby.
Germ Juice.
Chick.
Calamity Carl.
Brad Schmelzer.
You know, I'm not convinced that the Black Unicorn is working under its own will. Nick Johnson.
You're saying mind control is happening on a Black Unicorn? Do you know what their fucking wisdom saving throw is? Callum, Mr. Misfire West.
Could be like a spell of binding. Skeletorin.
I'm just saying we haven't gotten enough information through the name book of names to know quite exactly what's going on. Mandy Nasty.
You told me somebody opened up a third edition spell book and found Gaius Quest and cast it on a fucking unicorn? Yoplin.
Ryan Carroll.
Philip Reynolds.
Hey, Jeremy Bowser.
Nate BitG.
Okay, Mr. Unimportant wants to know, how do you do your tea or coffee? Black coffee, please.
I've moved on from instant coffee and now I'm drinking cold brew. Gonna do a little bit of cold brew, a little bit of hot water and have a hot cold brew. It's good.
Yep. cold brew, a cold brew with some chalky milk.
Nice.
Wow, that's an incredible tech. Holy crap.
Megan McCormick Mason.
Boss Garrison.
Scott Wabel.
I couldn't suss out if Paul's wow was genuine or not.
It was.
No, I thought Paul was mocking me for
no,
sure.
No,
look at the baby man putting the chalky milk in his coffee.
No,
it was
I think it's
the wow. It was like, Paul isn't really a wow guy. He's more of a huh guy.
You're right. I took a sip of water and it really messed me up.
Ryan R. Davis.
Ninja Breadman.
Rocco.
Omegle Bagel.
Hi.
Hey, Zealot. Helodicus Frenchlin.
Arid Lord.
Evdog.
Dr. Chuck.
Robot Arena.
Llama Lab.
Greg Musto.
SSJ Trogdor.
Sprinklebuns.
Hi, first time, long time.
Allie Rose.
Wow, Hilda B.
Mike Spaghetti Jones.
Ollie _ Suts. Wow.
Mike Hart?
Kate the Great.
Red Baron, love your pizzas.
When will Wes Anderson get Pauly Shore to play wordy, smart-brained park ranger or some shit like that? I'm voting for Weasel X.
What the fuck?
Wait, are you saying Weasel from the hit film Son-in-Law is going to play that character in a Wes Anderson movie?
Yeah, I think they're voting for Weasel, and the X is the mark. It's like, you know, where they are marking the box next to
Weasel's
name. Oh,
sure, on the ballot. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the Chad ballot.
The non-hanging right Chad, the completed Chad.
I blacked out. They were just, if I knew what that string of words meant, I'd go insane. So I just did the individual words to protect my brain.
You gestalted it. Gulliver.
Cassandra Harris.
This next name is my favorite.
Soggy Newspapers.
Oh, yes. Kira and Brian are big fans.
John W.
Dakota Camp.
Chris Kulik.
Big Nick Lane.
Blake Cavan.
Dan Antonio.
I like the mustard on both of those, but I like the Kevin-esque voice break on Blake Cavan. Saturn Video.
Farrah Tildy.
Kiwi of Blurb.
Serial Killer X.
Quest. Obly asks whoever reads this for a goblin to grade. I just saw a clip from Clash of Clans where there's a bunch of goblins and they were just stuffing them in a turret and you could see all their butts and it was like butt animation. I'll send it to you, Quest. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry, it's coming. Jesse.
Cole Gleason.
Chris Curto.
Michael Malloy.
Kit Bush.
Jesse Boggs.
Sarah Sin.
Kyle O'Neill.
Over the Moon.
Dennis Wright.
Cameron Gansveld.
Rat IRL.
Goon, like a henchman. Cahoots.
I appreciate the clarification.
Matt Septar.
Greg Gervasi, a.k.a. Vita Z.
Chris Callahan. And the Voodoo Death God.
Ooh. Wonderskin.
Tan your hide to make some Wonderskin.
Chad rips the world apart with a single wet fart. Tonight at 11.
Oh, I don't know if I like that one.
Brody Danza.
B.
Anthony Stoker.
Anthony Rodriguez.
Wonderskin once again.
S.
Max de la Fontenelle.
Just a alpaca acquaintance.
Jeff, big baby, and his wife, not a big baby.
Cool. Doglips _ Kajoyan.
Wow.
Turaku, the thing that goes doink in the anime.
Wow.
Robert Holden.
AKA Cyberbullying.
Blue Gunge.
Tron Legacy 3D starring Paul Ritchie as Korra. Nice
hey,
reference. Deep cut
good
reference.
Good ref. Spencer Y.
Daniel Hirschberger.
Blarbin.
Wow. Starship 9.
Oh my goodness.
Shadowheart Gun D Tyrannosaurus. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Triple wow. Logan Kilgus.
Bosferatu.
Greb Comics has become a slug. I watched that anime.
Chris's Casa contains Cinco canines. Wow, that's a lot of dogs.
Problem Child 2 on DVD.
Canadian Ghoul gives Scritches and Millet to some of Chad's bird friends.
When did
Thank
we
you.
Start talking about Millet? When did Millet become a major part of this podcast?
I don't know why Millet's everywhere.
It's an important grain. Up there with sorghum.
My favorite grains. Kumquat Behavior Podcast.
I gotta read this
okay.
one.
Okay. Sure. Breaking news.
Oh no, we've
RIP. I hope this isn't real. RIP. Peanut Butter Gamer crushed beneath wheels of a sentient car while leaving his local Goodwill.
Oh shit! I hope that's not true.
Is that a reference to something, or did he die?
I don't think it's true. I think he's alive. He has a lot to live for. He's a father now.
Kevin, start it back up.
Elodie.
Smell of these.
Clint, Deer King.
Angelo, Edward, Longton, Santone. The man's so nice, we name him four times.
Agents Miskatonic.
Nail 7.
Caleb Snyder, Grandmaster of Spells and Enchantments. Pledges his wizard staff and ancient tome to Paul.
Caleb, the war's over. Move on,
only
Caleb.
Person with a pledge left. The war can start at any time. We just got to see where the black unicorn weighs in.
Lubo Nuva.
Brian, you dad.
Herpy derpy drowns in dumb as shit sauce.
Rest in peace.
We should all be so lucky.
Ben Flolios Sire.
That's a wild card. You're allowed to say whatever you want for that middle word.
Yep.
Nowhere Lucas.
Yeah.
Brian Storrell.
C.L. Reagan.
Bob Cabbage.
The Shrekronomicon. Huh?
Number one gnome. Eh?
Justin.
Jolly Old Jules.
John Farrington.
Ryan Coyle. Let me know if you're the one I know.
Jaybird. Let me know if you're the one I know.
Taylor Girl. Taylor Garofalo.
Garofalo?
Yeah, is that how you spell it?
Garofalo.
Taylor Garofalo, be my friend, please.
Well, we've all just known it through hearing it. We've never read it, so. MC Wright.
Daniel Hirschberger. I think we already Danieled a Hirschberger.
If you guys are wanting to double pay, that's cool, but like, I don't know.
But what's happening?
Talk to us. Nat_Noah.
Tig ass biddies 007.
Nintendo 60 Jorts.
Welcome to the Book of Names, Quinn.
Get in here, crazy ass nipples. You're part of the family now.
Welcome, Jorge Rey Navarro.
Welcome, Jacob Leach.
Oh, welcoming. Wow. To you, Danielle Lavelle.
Thank you all so very, very much. We love you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye. Black Unicorn, weigh in. Tell us what happened to you.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.